Hey everyone, this is Carrie the Metal Geek here. Before we actually officially start this episode, we recorded this episode a few days before a lot of the big cancellations of tours and shows happened, so we do discuss it quite a bit in this episode. As we repeatedly say in this episode, please be safe, wash your hands, and for more information of what you need to do and stay up to date, go to cdc.gov. On with the metal.
For over 10 years, we've been bringing you killer metal music and frank discussions about heavy metal. Wait, who the hell is Frank? You are tuned into MSR Cast, brought to you by Mainstream Resistance. Here are your hosts, Kerry the Metal Geek and Sean the Metal Pigeon. Keep it metal.
Welcome, my friend, to episode number 234 of MSR Cast, your metal podcast. I am one of your hosts. I am Kerry the Metal Geek, along with
Sean the Metal Pigeon.
It's been a long time since we've seen each other, because you were on the last episode of Metal Geeks Podcast.
Yeah.
That was fun.
Yeah.
Got to geek out a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a fun episode.
Yeah, if you haven't listened to the latest episode of Metal Geeks, it's available now. Co-starring, co-guest hosted by Sean over here, Sean the Metal Pigeon. It's a good time.
Yeah.
It's always fun when we can fight with George.
Yeah. Yeah. And, or when he can hate more metal.
Yeah.
I don't think that, I had seen George for like, it felt like I hadn't seen him for like 3 months or something like that, or 4 months or something like that. So, yeah, I like hanging out with George. So what do we got going on?
We got metal and we have some concerts to talk about. Some that happened just recently and some that might not happen. We'll get to that.
Yeah.
So how you feeling, dude? You all right?
No. I mean, if I'm being honest, I think I am very disappointed right now.
Disappointed.
Because, I mean, to give people, and people are going to listen to this in the future, so time frame is, I don't know what the date is right now, but this is, there's like 20 minutes after they just announced the cancellation of the NBA season. So to give you a frame of reference of where we're at mentally, this is what's going on.
Well, you mentally for that, not me.
Yeah. Well, no. I don't really care so much about that, but it's just more of the metric of what's going on as it pertains to what I really care about, which is metal shows.
Metal shows. I mean, being in Houston, they canceled the rest of the rodeo,
which is a big fucking deal. Yeah.
And, you know, they've canceled a couple of different comic book conventions. E3 got canceled. NAB in Vegas was canceled, which is a huge, TV and movie convention up there that I've been to a few times. It's a crazy world right now. And our lovely president just announced that he's banning all travel from Europe for 30 days.
Yeah.
Which includes possible good shows. Hell's Heroes is coming up. A lot of the bands are European. Candlemass might not be able to get here. Even bigger than that, Rotting Christ and Bortnagar.
Yeah, that's the big one. You were saying that Insomnium is already over here in the States.
Insomnium posted today that they checked in the JFK. They're here for the tour.
So that's somewhat good news, but it's still not certain because you know, like the Decibel tour today announced that shows in California were canceled because the state is in a state of emergency and they've banned events over 250 people in these cities, specific cities. So that particular thing is what I'm worried about for Houston, where they can say, hey, anything over 250 people, like a gathering, that no. And that would kill off like Hell's Heroes and other things. So I'm really just – I know it's a selfish thing to be worried about, but it's what I'm worried – as it pertains to metal, that's what I'm really worried about because that's going to crush me, you know?
I know. I know a lot of people have been waiting 20-plus years to see Bortnagar. Candlemass, for me, I've never seen them live. I know it's a very selfish thing. You're right. But even if something does happen where these bands can't come to play, hopefully they'll make it up in the future. I mean, there's going to be a big loss of money. There's a big loss of money going around everywhere. Right. And some of these metal bands can't afford. They're not making money off of record sales now. They're making money off touring and things like that and merch.
Right.
this could really affect some bands, especially smaller bands that are still trying to get out there and tour to make a living.
Yeah, and you know, kill incomes and stuff like that. And I don't know. I mean, I don't want to think. I don't want to get to that doom and gloom part yet. But my mind is going there to where I'm just sort of like, what if, like, say the Hell's Heroes things? You know, like, what if they lose all this money?
Yeah,
and they don't
recoup. They can't do it again.
And they can't do it again. You know, that's the thing. So yeah,
We should have a drink, dude. If there's ever a time we need a drink, we need to get that alcohol in our system to. But you know, I want to say, be safe, be smart. You should have been washing your hands always.
Yeah, that should
before
your mother should have.
This shouldn't be something new, but wash your fucking hands. If you are feeling sick, stay home. I know some people don't have the luxury or the opportunity to, okay, I got to be home for 2 weeks or whatever. Do what you have to do.
Right.
There's people around that can help you. There's, you know, if there's a way around everything, just play it smart, play it safe, wash your damn hands.
What's the thing? It was like you wash your hands to the first verse and chorus of Jolene by Dolly Parton.
I haven't heard. I've been using Hot Blooded.
Okay. Yeah.
That works. Find a song that has 20 seconds in it.
Right.
There's a website where you can actually, they combined the steps of washing your hands and you can search for any song. You haven't seen this?
No.
I was looking around one of the, a couple of different metal websites I watched, they were picking like Ozzy or something. And
oh, I think I saw one. It was a meme for Sabaton's Winged Hussars.
Yes. Okay. I went on there and I'm like, what's the most fucked up song I can pick?
Right.
I picked Behemoth.
Jesus.
Gabriel. There's the first line in it. I was like, yeah, this is going to be great to wash your hands and pretty funny stuff.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into some music.
Okay.
First band of the evening is a band that is from Greece, so they probably wouldn't be able to travel here right now.
Right.
They're called On Sorns I Lay. I've been a fan of these guys for a while. They've been around since like the mid-90s. This is their 9th full-length album. Pretty amazing death doom. They have beautiful haunting melodies in their song. Very gothic over, you know, tinges to that, you know, that Peaceville, you know, mid-90s style.
Right.
All their lyrics are about sorrow and pain and emotions and just being sad, which is, I guess, a perfect song to start this episode.
Yeah. It is appropriate.
The song that I picked is called, it's from the album called Serenos, which just came out the end of February. And the song that I picked is called Cosmic Silence. It's on Life Force Records. So check it out. Get in the mood, get a little depressed, and check these guys out. I think you'll really enjoy them. Be right back. We'll be right back.
Hey, welcome back to the show. And
thank you.
You were just listening to a band called Novena, who I actually don't know anything about.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have Carrie talk about it.
They are a British prog band featuring in their ranks lead singer from Haken.
Oh, I do know something about them. That's right.
and also a member from the bass player from Sludge. They are very pop oriented prog rock, metal slash. There were some heavy parts in this last song that we heard. This is the first album. It came out actually this past week on Frontiers Records. The song that we heard was called Indestructible. I like this album. It's very melancholy. The video for the song was weird.
Yeah, they make weird videos.
Yeah. Well, so does Haken as well.
Yeah.
But if you like your prog rock, prog metal, a little bit on the more keyboard, piano style, this is a band for you. I like Roth Jennings as a vocalist a lot. Speaking of Roth Jennings, I met him two nights ago.
Yeah.
At the Haken show.
Yeah.
He was hanging out by the merch booth. Really nice guy. You want to talk about that real quick?
Yeah, yeah.
So since we've recorded, I've seen two shows,
mm-hmm.
and I saw both shows in the span of 3 days. So a Friday show and then a Monday show, which is fucking weird and strange for me.
Right.
But Friday night, let's talk about that first.
Okay.
I went to the X-Order and Overkill show at Warehouse Live.
Yeah.
The further back you sit in that place, the better it sounds.
Man. Yeah, it just ricochets around that building.
Okay, so I don't remember the name of the first band, but they were not good. X-Order came on. They played two songs from the new album. They played a combination of songs from Slaughter in the Vatican. And you know, they played about maybe five or six songs. They were a killer live. Right. Everybody knows they're down to one guitar player right now. Marzi is the only guitar player. The original guitar player just left like a couple weeks ago.
Wow.
And they, instead of canceling or whatever, they're keeping on.
Right.
So it didn't have that complete full thrash sound, but they were fantastic.
Yeah.
And then Overkill. What can you say about Overkill? Overkill
institution.
Are a fucking thrash institution. This is like their 22nd album. They played stuff from all through their career. Great set list. They have so much energy on stage. There's so much green going on. They had these green lights, and it's like, and I thought about when I was watching, I'm like, there's not any other bands that I can really think of when you see a color, you associate it with that band.
Right.
Overkill are definitely that. Typo Negative, I associated with green as well.
Yeah, yeah.
But is there a band that you associate with red or a blue?
Sentenced with blue.
I could see that.
Weird, yeah. I mean, even though it wasn't all throughout their career, but most of their stuff, yeah.
But, I mean, Overkill have really honed in on that.
Yeah.
This is our color type of thing, you know. They were phenomenal, man. Really, really good. I stayed for the whole show, too. It's crazy.
Nice.
My old body.
Yeah.
And
good crowd attendance.
Decent-sized crowd.
Yeah.
Wasn't as crowded as it was for Devin Townsend Monday night.
Right, yeah.
When we first got there, it was not very many people there. So the first band was The Contortionist, who they were okay. I like them. They're across. They have a lot of Between the Buried and Me elements to them. So sort of metalcore, the previously metalcore, not anymore. The new last album, it's very much not in that vein. It reminds me a lot of Antimatter at times, that style of British rock,
yeah.
Like metal, but I don't think they are British. I think they're from Indianapolis, actually. But there's a couple songs where they got into some of the heavier vocal stuff. Good prog band, except the first couple songs, the sound was so off. You couldn't hear the vocalist at all, and a lot of the stuff he was doing, it's all clean vocal, so it just wasn't hitting, you know what I mean? But Haken, man, holy crap.
Yeah.
I've been wanting to see these guys live for a while. I've listened to some of their live albums and stuff like that. Guys put on a phenomenal show. they're just such a killer band live. And I was hanging out with Brutal Dave at the show, and he messaged me today. I was like, the day of the show, I listened to Cockroach King like 5 times in a row. such an earworm of a song, right? He messaged me today. He's like, dude, Cockroach King is such an earworm. It's stuck in my head. It's burrowed in. I'm like, yeah. And I hadn't seen the video. He sent me the link to the video, and it's like they're like all Muppets and shit.
Yeah,
it's pretty great.
What was their set list? Mostly the new album, or was it?
No, actually, they played a little bit of everything. Truthfully,
what was the album I really liked? 1985, I think.
Yeah,
I love that album. Did they play that song Earthrise?
I believe they did. Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
They also played 1985.
Yeah.
The song.
Yeah.
They had, the lead singer Ross Jennings came out with like these weird futuristic square red and green glasses. They would light up and like, it was weird.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool though. They played a couple, they played Cockroach King Off the Mountain, which is the first album I ever heard by them. Stuff off Affinity, and then a couple songs off the new album Vector, which I admit I'm not that into as much.
I wasn't wild about that record. It wasn't bad. I don't remember it being bad. I just didn't pull me in.
Sure.
Affinity, that's the album.
Yeah.
Right before that. Yeah. I love that record. Yeah.
That's a great record.
Yeah.
And then Devin Townsend came out. What a fucking show.
Mm-hmm.
This guy is a consummate showman.
I saw some of your videos on
Facebook. Dude, he's just every show I feel like I see with him, it's a different style. Now that I was wondering how it was going to be after Devin Townsend Project, because I really liked that lineup and that band. So it's just Devin Townsend now. He has basically hired Guns with some. The keyboard player from Haken was his keyboardist, probably. Yeah. How they got on the tour,
right?
And the guitar player is, what's his name? Mike Keneally. He played a lot, did a lot of stuff on the last album, Impasse. But he's also one of the main guys from Desk Clock, the live band.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And then Amy Durval, they did the Casualty of the Cool album together.
Mm-hmm.
She was up there almost the whole time
doing the backup
stuff. Yeah. They did stuff from Casualty of the Cool, and then anything that was an Annika line or stuff like that, she was filling in. She was great. It was just an awesome show. It was a great lineup. It felt very, the whole stage was just filled with like stuffed animals.
That's what those were. I was wondering.
Yeah. So apparently, yeah, somehow on the beginning of this tour, this is only like, he was like the 10th or 11th show, and he was sick as hell. He was like, blowing snot rockets and stuff. There's been no Devin. This is typical, tour sick, the whole, it passes around the band and stuff. Yeah. But, so I guess one of the first nights of the show, somebody brought him stuffed animals, and somehow it started accumulating and people bringing more and more and more. And then I think at the end of the tour, he's going to give them all to a children's hospital back home or something like that. So they would set him up. They set him up every night, and he was playing with them, and he had like one on his arm, and it's just fun. He put like this, it was like a octopus hat on. It was like a stuffed octopus hat. It was just, Phillips was great.
They lean heavy on the new album.
No, actually, I think they only did 3 or 4 songs from the new album.
So curious that for an album that he's committed so much financial resources to, that he wouldn't, be going out and playing it in its entirety or whatever, or doing something like that to try to promote it more.
Right. I mean, I'm going to pull up the set list from the Houston show,
because I don't even think that there was another music video after the single, right? After the song with the gorilla in space.
Right. So the cat in space.
Yeah.
I got that shirt.
Yeah.
That's a tour shirt that I got, of course. So he did Evermore. Genesis.
Okay.
And Why. That's the other song he did. So 3 songs.
I actually like Why a lot.
Yeah. It was great live.
Yeah.
So rest of the set list, he did War, which was amazing live. Hyperdrive, March of the Poothers. I did a version of E.A., very acoustic style. Forgive Me, which is a Casualty of the Cool song. And it's weird. They came out, they did this like this 7 or 8 minute jam, just like spacey jam. And the drummer, I have to show you a picture of it. They brought this box out, right? Covered in green fur that looked like a Muppet. And it had a little hi-hat and a little cymbal, and he was playing it, and it was very strange, but super cool. They actually did Deadhead, which blew a lot of people away. But my buddy Mark, I told him that they might be doing the song, and he's like, he was freaking out. Like, you need to bring a change of underwear because you're going to be freaking out, dude. They did fucking Strapping Young Lad song. They did Love. Super Crush, and then Heaven Send from Key, or Kai, however you want to say it. And they ended everything with Kingdom. Perfect song about, you know,
right,
depression and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Perfect song to end the night evening.
That's an interesting set list.
It was a greatest hit set list. But everything felt a little differently. There was a different, some of the songs had a little bit of different, I don't say orchestration, but what's the word I'm looking for?
Vibe?
Well, the vibe, but it was a little bit different style. You right. know what I mean? Not like they weren't. Not orchestration, but
it wasn't just a straight ahead metal
right
show.
Well, it yes and no. This is the way the arrangement. Some of the arrangements were a little bit different,
right?
But I don't know. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah,
it was. You know, it's a great Devin Townsend show. I wish I could see him every night.
Yeah,
truthfully.
I hope they get to finish the tour.
I hope so too. Yeah. I hope all these people get to finish their tours and.
Yeah.
Get to come to America and
because I think I was just reminding myself of how much money he spent on that album and how he needs to recoup it, and it's like cancel tour wouldn't help him in that cause.
And he was sold out of a lot of fucking merch.
That's good. That's a good.
We
sign.
Got there when we got there super early. We got there before the opening band started. We got in line for merch, so we had our merch before the Contortionist played. So, and I'm glad I did, because at the end of the show I'm like, I'm gonna go buy something from Haken. Sold out.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you are going to a show right now during this period of all this turmoil and shit, man, buy something out
yes.
there.
Yes.
Because, like...
I felt bad because I wanted to buy something from Haken.
You don't know if this is going to... Or help, you know, buy something from a web shop right now because...
Yeah.
You don't know if this is going to really F these bands financially.
And at the Exorder Overkill show, I bought an Exorder tour shirt.
Cool.
Had to support them. And I got that Overkill drum head that you're looking at.
Yeah.
Fucking great. It's like a 14 inch tom drum head. Actually, this might be a snare. I don't know. Possibly. Signed by the band. They have this green tape everywhere with Overkill logo on there. And a fucking drumstick attached to it.
Yeah. That's
and
cool.
The tour shirts are $35, right?
Uh huh.
They had a Dickies button up shirt that was really cool looking for $40. And then this was $40. I'm like, yeah. I'm going to get the drum head from my collection.
Yeah.
But I still got the Exorder shirt, you know?
Nice.
And speaking of, I didn't get to mention, Exorder was hanging out by their booth after they played. Met all four guys in the band, got them to sign the new album. And then I pulled out my Trouble Distortion Field album to get Kyle Thomas to sign. He freaked out. He's like, oh, Trouble, dude. Are you a fan of Trouble? And he started talking to me about Trouble. It was really cool. He has a Trouble tattoo, and I showed him. I was wearing my jacket, my battle jacket, showed him my Trouble patch, and he's like, oh, you're a fucking real fan.
Yeah.
And then it was weird, because, like, we're Facebook friends, but that doesn't mean shit, you know?
Right.
So I posted about it, and he, like, liked it. You know?
Cool. Oh, yeah.
And the drummer, Sasha Horn, used to be in November's Doom for a while. So we talked about November's Doom for a little bit.
Yeah.
I showed him the patch, too, and he's like, how'd you get that patch? He's like, I was like, they actually gave it to me, Larry. And he's like, oh, you know, Larry, so we had a conversation about that a little bit, and it was a good time.
The former drummer for November's Doom was asking you how you got a November's Doom patch.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, down here in Houston, they're known, but they're not like,
right.
I guess they're not known how they are up north, like in Chicago and stuff like that.
Are they ever going to do a major tour?
They're doing a tour of Australia, hopefully. They just announced if that can still happen.
Yeah.
They've never played here. I've only seen them live once, and that was a Milwaukee Metal Fest 20 years ago before I knew who they were, I liked them, I was a fan, but I didn't know them.
Yeah.
Eventually, one day, I'm going to have to get up to Chicago area.
I just wonder if they could get like a nice little, you know, opening slot or a mid slot on something.
They'd be great on like Hell's Heroes or something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, if we can get them down here for that.
Yeah. I could see that happening.
I mean, I could help facilitate, so.
I wonder if Hell's Heroes is up for like doing like fan-funded like sponsors, like sponsorships.
Yeah, right. Like Prog Power does. Prog Power does. I would totally be on board for that.
That would be cool.
I mean, it's Hell's Heroes, it's not just thrash or retro stuff. I mean, Candlemass is on there.
Yeah.
So they're branching
out to Doom and stuff like
that. Yeah, so I think November's Doom would fit well on that show.
Yep.
Maybe next year.
Yeah, hopefully.
Hopefully. Yeah. All right. Going back to what we just heard, we talked about Novena, right?
Yes. Yeah.
And we talked about On Thorns I Lay. What did you think of On Thorns I Lay?
I mean, I like the sound. It does remind me of something. I can't quite
It's that decide. Peaceful sound, that Peaceville, My Dying Bride, Old Anathema,
yeah.
That, just that tone and melody.
Yeah.
Like Draconian, that type of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But stuff that I love. Yeah. So if you're sleeping on Thorn, well, it's kind of, okay. If you're sleeping on the band on Thorns I Lay, check them out. I think if you're into any of that kind of stuff, I think you'll really dig them.
Man, I'm assuming the Draconian album is due in the future at some point, but it's been forever since that last Draconian album.
They're working on one. They posted about it, so maybe something. Yeah, this year.
I remember they said they were supposed to be out like last year at some point. So
what's next? Demons and Wizards.
Yeah.
This is Wolves in Winter from the album 3. Do you want to talk about it now, or do you want to talk about it after people listen to it?
Let people listen to it.
Okay. So, Demons and Wizards, my friends. Check it out.
Resisting all along, but I am always with you. I catch you when you fall. So take a look how far you've
And we're back to the show. We just got finished listening to a band that I am fucking digging quite a bit right now called Night Crowned. The song that we heard was called Reborn from the album called Impious Viam. Whichever.
Mm-hmm.
These guys are fucking phenomenal. They're hard to pinpoint and hard to describe because they go all over the place.
Oh, yeah.
They wear their influences on their sleeves, but they're clean sleeves. You know what I mean? They do it correct. They do it right. So this song starts off like Dimmu Borgir, goes straight into some mellow death, like At the Gates. I mean, this dude sounds just like Tomas at times.
Yeah.
Goes back into a little bit of Dimmu Borgir. Just albums all over the place, but they're able to keep their own sound and their own style at the same time.
Yeah.
There's prog elements. There's acoustic interlude.
They're very theatrical.
Yeah.
They have a sense of just, yeah.
They know how to write a good song, right. And where to take it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I was impressed with this album because when we did Metal Geeks, you were playing me this.
I did, yeah. It was one of our George Hayes Metal picks.
And I went back the next day and then listened to the entire thing, and it's been on the regular rotation ever since. Yeah.
I'm glad.
And I think that they're a really creative band, and I was actually kind of really looking for something that was in the extreme realm to get me back into it.
Yeah.
And this has been kind of the first band in a while with, you know, on the extreme side of things where I'm pretty excited about them. So yeah, it was a really, really good album. It's also weird that they're able to take two. I mean, the influences are very apparent. Like there's a big At the Gates Melodeath influence and a big black metal, symphonic black metal.
Yeah.
And that they're able to merge those two things together kind of seamlessly is very impressive. So
no, for sure. Yeah. And not a lot of bands. There's doomy parts on this album.
Yeah.
It's like a blender. We threw everything in a blender, but it came out to be the most delicious milkshake you've ever had. You know what I mean?
They also kind of look like Powerwolf in their video.
Yes, they did. There's one part where he had like this blood dripping down from his forehead. Didn't look good, but
yeah.
A lot of white pancake makeup on the dudes.
Yeah.
But yeah, I hope these guys will ever tour here. I don't know. They are from, oh my God, guess where they're from?
Sweden.
What part?
Stockholm.
Nope.
Uppsala.
Nope.
I have no idea.
They're from Gothenburg.
Oh, well, okay. I should have thought of that for a second.
Makes sense now, right?
Yeah.
This is their first album. They put an EP out in 2018. But yeah, I'm really digging these guys. Check out Night Crowned. The new album is called Impious Viam. Whatever. What did you hear before that?
The best song from the new Demons and Wizards album.
It was the only good song?
Legitimately a good song. Very good song. Yeah.
I read your review, so I'm very interested to talk to you about this.
Well, I mean, what'd you think about it?
I don't vehemently despise it, but haven't really gone back to it more than a couple times.
Right.
Nothing really sticks out to me as well.
Yeah.
It's okay. It's definitely not their best.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the most polite thing you could say about it, really.
It feels phoned in.
Yeah, it really does. And
like, hey, let's put an album out. Okay. Well, what do you think about this riff? That riff's okay. Oh, we'll make a song out of it.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, we both love Blind Guardian. We both love Iced Earth.
Yeah. And I love Demons and Wizards,
too. It's peanut butter and chocolate, right? Yeah. But sometimes you get those off-brand peanut butter and chocolate, where the peanut butter doesn't taste right and the chocolate tastes off.
Yeah.
This is their off-brand album, I think.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to compare everything to food, but
it's see, here's the thing that really hurts about it is that they really, at least John Schaefer. Now, John Schaefer is a big loudmouth and he talks a talk a lot. So he was really building this album up for, I'm going to say the past like 7 to 10 years about how he wasn't really that impressed with Touched by the Crimson King, which is their 2005 second album. And how he's like, you know, it was a good album, but we could have done better. We were rushed for time. and how I know that if we get back together and do a third album, it'll smoke the second one. So I had all that stuff in my head about, okay, they're going to take their time on this. They're going to work on this over the many years. And then, you know, when I saw them in Dallas live and, on their tour, it was such a great show. And they were so fun live. And it was great to hear those songs live for the first time. It got me all jazzed up for this record. And I was so excited for it. And I've rare that I'm this disappointed by an album, but the anticipation really played into that, I think. And I have a theory about why it is. And if you really want to get in depth in the theory, you can go read my review on themetalpigeon.com. But this is it in a nutshell. So when they first started this project in 2000 and they did the first album, they were in the same room together in Germany at Hansi's house, and they decided to go to a rehearsal studio and work in these songs. There's no way you can listen to a song like Fiddler on the Green and tell me that song was done via mail with one guy in America and one guy in Germany. They were in the same damn room together, right. And they've said that as much in interviews. So a couple years later, when they go do Touched by the Crimson King, they say, you know, we had to crunch this album together in a couple months. And so with that album, when I first heard it, what it really sounded like was the half songs that Hansi started and half songs that John started, because there's that really thrashy Iced Earth bent to half the album and that really – like straight up vocal melody driven forward songs by Hansi, like Beneath These Waves and stuff like that. And I actually thought that kind of made for an interesting album, because it's like you really were getting half Iced Earth, half Blind Guardian leaning songs, whereas the first album was more of a met, like a stew with those two guys together, because they were sitting there in the same room. And I know that someone will say, like, well, they did kind of do half that first album, like, over the mail. Yes, they did, but they did spend a lot more time together physically. So here's what I think happened this third time. They couldn't be together in the same room because their schedules weren't aligning for so long. So they did the album, as they said in interviews, numerous times through this promotional cycle through Dropbox, where he would leave him he would write some riffs for Hansi. Hansi would get them, and he would try to write vocal melodies for them. But here's where the problem is. I think they were both too diplomatic and they didn't want to, like, you know, tread on each other's boots.
Your part wasn't good.
And
I listened to their interview on Jamie Josta podcast.
Yeah. That's very telling what they reveal in that interview.
Yeah.
About how they did this. And the fact that they I really do believe it was just like, because they have fucking Jim Morris and Charlie Bauerfeind producing. Jim is known for Iced Earth. Charlie is Blind Guardian's producer boy since 2002. I think he even mixed on Nightfall and Middle Earth. So it's weird that you would do that, that you would have both guys in that situation, not just have one voice as a producer. It's also weird, the disconnect in these songs when you listen to them. Woes in Winter is the one song where you can still hear the disconnect. Well, you can hear that, how the verse is just like built on these riffs, this riff progression. And then in the chorus, you can hear that what John was thinking was, I'm just going to have an open chord extend out, and that'll provide enough room for Hansi to, like, fill in whatever he wants to do. Now, he got lucky there because Hansi stumbled upon a great vocal melody. But for the rest of the album, man, there's some real problems with the disconnect in the songwriting. The one word that kept popping up when I was talking to other fans about this was, these songs count, they sound disjointed, they sound disconnected. And that's what happens when you write something. You write, like, it's like Nightwish's Dark Passion Play. They wrote an album for a singer they didn't know who the singer was. So you have these.
I like Dark Passion Play.
I do, to a certain extent.
That's like the only album I like by them.
But Imaginarium, I think, is way better in terms of, like, how they mesh Annette's voice in the band. So with this album,
speaking of, not to segue away real quick, have you heard the album with her and Russell Allen yet?
No, not yet.
Yeah. Very Frontiers.
Yeah. I'm assuming Magnus Carlson's all over that thing.
It's good, though. I think you'll enjoy it.
Okay. Well, I mean, I do like her with Dark Element right now a lot. Yeah. So, but yeah, I mean, the disjointedness in this, in the Demons album, it only suggests one thing, that they were afraid to tell each other directions about what to do. Where you know, Hansi could pass back these riffs and go, John, I got nothing for these, sorry. Like, there's nothing, nothing's coming out. He really forced a lot of the issue on this, and I think John, should have recognized that, like, dude, you write Iced Earth songs, with the vocal melody in mind. I've heard him in numerous interviews throughout the years always talk about how the melody is the most important thing. You got to have the melody. And sometimes it's like, and most of the time when he writes for like Matt Barlow or Stu Block, he's thinking of the vocal melody. And he talks about how the riff is always secondary. So how are you writing an album like of Demons and Wizards songs and not even daring to touch the vocal melody because you just want to let Hanzi do it? You're not even providing any type of structure. This is what I'm guessing is happening because this is the way it sounds on the record. And it really just sounds like two guys who wrote this album in two different places never really got together. And then that's why it's so bleh. And it's just so disappointing. And it really is right now. See, I would hope that it's going to be the most disappointing album of the year because I can't imagine anything that could top this in that negative realm. You know, I wouldn't want anything to top this in that negative realm. So, and I hate saying this about Hanzi. It kind of like hurts me because I wasn't really, you know, the orchestra project really kind of turned out to be kind of a wah-wah. And then to follow it up with this and just sort of like, man, there's a lot riding on this next Blind Guardian album with regards to Hanzi.
When's that?
2021, hopefully.
Whatever happened to that live album they were working on? They recorded like when they were here?
Yeah.
It hasn't come out.
Did it? Or maybe I think they released a live album recently.
Did they?
I think it was all Europe stuff.
Oh, yeah, they did. Yeah, that's right.
They just didn't choose anything from here.
That's right. They did. Yeah. They recorded, and they even talked about that they're recording a live album here tonight. We're recording a live album here at Warehouse Live.
I think they said that every show on
probably.
The tour.
Probably. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I'm bummed about Demons and Wizards. And in respect to them, I'm going to go back to it like a year from now and see if my mind has changed. But I listened to this album over and over again.
When they released that Midas Disease song, I was like, I lost me there.
And weirdly, that's one of the only songs where I kind of think like, I kind of like parts of it because he reminds me of Blackie Lawless.
Yeah.
You know, and I was like, oh, I kind of like that effect. But yeah, there's still that disjointedness there. And I don't know. I'm so puzzled by it. You know, one criticism I have for Schaefer, aside from why don't you just spend the fucking time to go hang out in Germany and write this album in the same goddamn room as Hanzi? Because, you know, Roy Kahn, when he was in Camelot, he would fly down to Florida, stay at Thomas Youngblood's house, and they would write these Camelot albums together like you're supposed to do, like human beings do. So my one piece of advice for them, it's kind of semi-criticism, is stop trying to outdo yourself in the past. Like, stop going around thinking to yourself, like, I can smoke the second album. Dude, just write the best album you can at the moment and do everything you can to do that. And you didn't do that in this case. I think you both compromised. Hanzi also compromised by not wanting to really, I guess they're all just too diplomatic. Like, oh, that's John's stuff. He had his stuff. This is what he's decided to do. I'm going to have to do something right here. No, you know, either the next album should be half songs that Hanzi starts and John can finish, and then half songs that John starts and Hanzi can finish. Then you might be onto something. But whatever process they're working on now, and you know what sucks is that they're not going to know this because they have so many fanboys who are going to say, oh, yeah, it's really great. Even when they really deep down inside don't think it's that great, they're going to say, oh, it's great. It's spectacular. You know, another classic album by Demons and Wizards. And, you know, if that's the only fan feedback they get, they're not going to know that it kind of, you know, is a disappointment.
So did you hear the news about Firewind, who the new vocalist is?
Yeah, well, that's a good pick.
Herbie Langens?
That's a really good pick.
Yeah. I got to see him live with Aventasia this past year. As a backup vocalist.
Yeah.
And he did, you know, specific lines and stuff like that too, but great vocalist.
Yeah. I was actually when they're, because this all kind of happened suddenly that no one really knew they were having some lineup shakeups, I guess. But when they announced it, I was kind of like, oh, I was surprised they didn't go for someone like Sozos Michael, the ex Hellion Prime singer, who's kind of, he's in Greece. He's just hanging out there, you know? So, but yeah, Herbie's a great choice, man.
We'll get to see him live. Hopefully.
I don't think he's in Sinbreed anymore either.
No. He's not.
Yeah.
So hopefully this tour still happens.
Yeah.
But that's in June, so we should be good.
Hopefully.
What's next? Well, you ready to get serious?
Oh yeah, I'm ready.
You want to get serious black about it?
I'm always ready for serious black.
All right, so I'm a fan of the singer. Their singer, of course, is Urban Breed.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. The first album was a lot of fun. I listened to this new album, but I don't think it's drawn me in quite yet.
No, I understand that. There's a lot of people who love Urban Breed who don't get into Sirius Black as much because it is a lighter sounding band, you know, than the stuff he's done before.
This album doesn't feel that light, though. Mirror World.
That's true. No, this album
felt very like.
Yeah.
We're trying to be like, you know, here's our Halloween influences. Here's.
Yeah. And it was very. 80s arena,
yeah,
going for it.
Yeah.
It was infinitely better than Magic. I love Mirror World, actually. I think Magic was just an abomination for the most part.
Remember that album?
For the better.
Okay.
this album is definitely heavier and darker. There's some stuff on here that reminds me of Megadeth at times. And
yeah. It's like The Dark Ride?
No. But, yeah, I mean the one thing that when I talk to like people who like Urban Breed but they can't quite get into Sirius Black, the one thing they say is that I'm used to him in a darker context. And if you listen to him in Bloodbound,
yeah, if people don't know, he was in Bloodbound, he was in
Tad Moreau's
Pyramid Maze, right? Live though, right?
Only live, but yeah. He delivered nothing but classic albums in Tad Moreau's.
Yeah, for sure.
Modus Vivendi is one of the greatest power metal albums you've never heard, likely. Just brutal, thick riffs and aggression, and he's one of the greatest vocalists I think in the genre, the most unheralded certainly. And he definitely is in a lighter context overall in Sirius Black, because even at their heaviest, they're not nearly as heavy as Tad Morose, or even you know when he was with doing Bloodbound Nosferatu or Tabula Rasa and stuff like that. So yeah, I mean. You're either going to like this and really be able to get into it, or you're just going to instantly kind of be repelled by this sort of Freedom Call-ish nature that they have a tendency to have.
Yes, but I don't feel that much Freedom Call here on this album as much.
Yeah, this one's definitely their heaviest album to date.
Yeah.
And I like it. It grew on me. There's a song on here that is, I think it's a first track. Super aggressive, very Megadeth. He even sounds like Dave Mustaine. And when I heard that, I was just kind of like, whoa, that's unusual for him. You know, it's like he's heavy. He's normally the kind of guy who will soar over just the heavy, thundering riffs. So it's cool to hear him do something like that that's a little more thrash-oriented.
So what song did you pick?
Castiel, which is it's my favorite song in the album. It's got a little bit of that kind of chanty vocal thrash attack to it, too. But, of course, cleaned up by power metal production. But yeah, definitely like the catchiest song on the album. It's if you don't like this song, you're not going to like the album. Put it that way. So
truer words have never been spoken.
Yeah,
let's check it out. This is Sirius Black with Castiel from the album called Sweet 226. All right.
time for the planet to change. Clashing at the stars, living by your heart, is it time to break the chains? Now I'm ruined by making my own heart, waiting for the world to quake. Tell me it's a fall, now I'm in the dark, waiting for the planet to change.
The Divinyls, what does that mean?
I have no idea what any of
Remember the band, the Divinyls?
No. Is that what? A band?
Yeah, there was a band called the Divinyls.
Huh.
I Touched Myself. It was like really big in the 90s.
Is that the I Don't Want Anybody?
Yes.
Okay. Oh.
That was the Divinyls.
Huh.
I wonder if that's where the Night Flight Orchestra got that song title.
Okay.
We should ask them.
We should look at, well, when was that song released?
I have no idea.
I bet it was around 85.
No, no. It must have been after that.
Okay. Hmm. All right.
So why did you pick that song?
I know it's a single. I know they have a great video out for it too. But I don't know, just the sheer earworm of it. It has every element of what I like that they do best. You know, sometimes they do songs that are a little looser, a little more wild rock and roll, but I like it when they're really tightened and reined in. And this song has everything. It has tension building verses, explosive chorus. Yeah.
The Divinyls,
great vocal.
The Divinyls single I Touched Myself was 1991.
Oh, okay. Well, then that's not a reference.
No, so. Guess not.
What do you think's going to happen to Night Flight when they
get in the 90s?
Yeah. Are they going to go through the 90s?
I don't know. When they're going to do their hair metal album.
Yeah. Well, that'll be interesting.
Yeah, that'd be fun. Their Bon Jovi-esque 1989 album.
Yeah.
You know they're going to. They got to do that.
Yeah.
Some stadium cock rock.
I was going to suggest like they had Keith Olsen produce, but Keith Olsen passed away I think this past week, unfortunately.
I don't know who that is.
He's a famous producer who did like Foreigner and Whitesnake in the 80s and stuff. And like Scorpions, Crazy World.
Oh, okay.
Just a ton of stuff. He was like a legendary producer.
Oh, well, rest in peace, sir.
Yeah, it's a bummer.
Albums of my childhood.
Yeah.
You know, when I was a kid, I didn't really look at that information. I do now. Yeah. I'm like, oh, who produced this? Who did this? But back in the day, I didn't.
I weirdly did.
Did you?
I went through every detail.
Yeah.
I read over booklets. Now, booklets.
What are booklets?
Yeah.
Like video games don't come with even booklets anymore.
Yeah.
Which is weird.
My booklet is Encyclopedia Metallum for the most part.
That's very true.
Yeah.
Everybody knows who Night Flight Orchestra is. It's Speed and other members. Bjorn.
Charlie still in the band?
I think Charlie is still in the band.
Yeah.
Charlie D'Angelo.
Mm-hmm.
Nice guy. I've met him before. He's really cool when he was in The Haunted back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
Who do we hear before Night Flight Orchestras?
Who did we hear?
Sirius Black.
Yes.
It's not spelled the same way as the character from Harry Potter.
No.
Not the same thing, I don't think.
No.
Yeah.
Bad name. It's a bad name.
It is.
we can say it.
It features Urban Breed on vocals,
yep.
Which is a bad name. We can say that too.
He insists that's his real name.
He does.
Yeah.
And he insists that it's not a moniker, and he insists that his last name is spelled lowercase.
Yeah. And everyone just says, okay,
sure.
Whatever you say, Urban.
let me see your birth certificate.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. What are we going to get into next? Oh, yeah. Dark Fortress.
Yep.
This is some progressive black metal on, is it Metal Blade or Century Media? I can't remember now. But the album is called Spectres from the Old World. I really dig this band a lot. I think I call it black and roll.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of like, you know, like Carcass was death and roll. This is sort of like a black metal-esque, but it has like that rock and roll, you know, element to it as well.
Yeah.
I like progressive black metal like this. But it still has like a raw guitar sound to it as well. You know what I mean? Yeah, I really like this album, Dark Fortress. It took me forever to get into them. Logo's really fucking cool too.
Right. Yeah.
Like the whole background of the logo is like an eerie fortress in the background. It's really cool looking.
Yeah.
Very hard to make a sticker or something of that, like a vinyl sticker, but
yeah. More bands need to be a little more creative in their logo design.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think these guys definitely are.
Yeah.
Let's get into Dark Fortress, and we'll be back right after this.
Let's go.
Welcome back to the show. And that was some King Diamond you were listening to there.
It was not. Close, but not. No cigar.
Very, very reminiscent of King Diamond.
I want to try to pull something old school every episode. We haven't done that in a while.
Yeah.
This is a band, in my opinion, that is very underrated in when you talk about thrash. This is a band called Hades from New Jersey. The song we heard was called King in the title, King in Exile, from the album. It's called If at First You Don't Succeed, from 1988.
Maybe he's trying to challenge King Diamond.
Maybe.
For the King title.
Yeah, so they're around for a while. They didn't get super huge, but they came back in the 90s. In the early 2000s, they did about four or five albums and sort of went away again. But one of my favorite vocalists is a guy named Alan Tecchio. He's a vocalist of this band. He was also in Watchtower for a while. He did the one album that wasn't Jason McMaster from Dangerous Toys. The most popular one, most likely, in my opinion. He's been in a band called Autumn Hour, Heathen's Rage. He was in Mike LaPon, Silent Assassins. Phenomenal vocalist. Really awesome vocalist.
Yeah.
And Dan Lorenzo, guitar player, lead guy of the band, basically. He's done a couple of, side projects, his own stuff. But they did the band Nonfiction for a while. And you remember that?
No.
There's a lot of stuff you got to learn. Wow. He did the album called The Cursed with Bobby Blitz from Overkill.
Huh.
And then he has a new band called Vessel of Light that is currently, I think they put an album out last year. Yeah, last year they put a new album out. So I'm a big fan of Hades. Their 2000-ish Metal Blade records are phenomenal. They're great.
Yeah.
But their old stuff is phenomenal, too.
Hmm.
Very underrated band, and I wanted to shine a little light on
I honestly
80s.
Can say I've never heard of them.
Really?
Yeah, just the name, not even the name. Which is, you figure that would be a common metal band name.
Well, there's a black metal band, I think, called Hades as well.
Okay.
And there's that one dude from the, there's a dude from the, what's the name that, the Disney movie? The bad guy from the Disney movie, Hades?
Oh, yeah.
I don't think he put an album out, but, you know, he might have.
Right.
But, yeah, that's the band Hades. I'm a really big fan of these guys.
Yeah.
Very underrated. Vessel of Light is Dan Lorenzo's new band, and it's one of the guys from, what's his name? Ancient Wisdom, vocalist of that band.
Okay.
Yeah, Ancient Wisdom, it's two Vs. So... Yeah, Hades.
Yeah, all right.
Check them out. I think you'll enjoy them.
Yeah.
What did we hear before that?
I can't even read my sheet because this printer is not working.
Yeah, my printer died. I'm not saying anything. Dark Fortress. It's a band out of Germany, Bavaria, Germany. Progressive melodic black metal, you know, very, I call it sort of black and roll, you know what I mean? It has a thrashy, like rock and roll element to it. I like this album. It's out on Century Media Records. The album is called Spectres from the Old World. This is, they first came out on the scene in 2001.
I remember.
Yeah. So this is their 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 album in that time period. I remember their last album a little bit.
They haven't been that prolific.
No, but recently. I think this album will
raise
that level that will people know about.
Yeah.
So I really like this album a lot. Dark Fortress, the album's called Spectres from the Old World. And the song we heard was, what was the song that we heard?
No idea.
The Spider in the Web.
You know,
and his name's not Charlotte.
It's because I was looking at the stuff you recommended. It seems like you've been listening to a lot of anything that was more brutal this time around compared to like the last episode.
Maybe. Yeah. I don't know. Compared to like maybe what I was listening to last year, maybe a little bit too.
Yeah.
It comes in waves, you know.
Is it a conscious decision?
A conscious decision at all. Okay. It's just what catches my fancy.
Right.
I Justin, who's a friend of the show from Mind Fudge Comedy Podcast, he puts together – I was doing this for a while, but he puts together a weekly – every Friday he puts together every new album that's come out on Spotify. And I try to listen to a lot of that. And I create my own playlist of my top albums of the year so far. I just keep on adding to it and then, you know, take stuff away if I don't enjoy it that much. And
yeah,
just doing it that way. And I'm like – and then I go back and – listen to stuff over and over, and stuff that I've been listening to over and over, it's stuff that I try to play on this show to bring out to people. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think it's a private playlist, but it's a playlist of just everything I've been listening to for just being as the Metal Pigeon, the blog and everything in this podcast. I don't have a best of list from that though. So I might have to consider doing that.
It's what I do.
Even though I already know it in my mind.
I sort of number like, okay, this album is like a 4 out of 5 or a 3 out of 5. Mm-hmm. Anything that's over a 3 out of 5, I'll stick into another playlist.
Yeah. I mean, Justin's just on a whole other level doing that with like a spreadsheet and everything going.
Yeah, he has a spreadsheet. I got to work. I don't have time for that.
No.
But yeah, there's a lot of albums that come out weekly now. It's crazy.
I know.
And a lot of the stuff is still going to fall under radar. They're not going to be able to hear it.
Yeah. I mean, well, you know, to that end, I only just started listening to the My Dying Bride album like a couple of days ago. And it was out like what?
Last week.
Yeah.
Last week, last Friday. Yeah. Okay. Want to talk about the My Dying Bride album?
Sure. Yeah.
Besides George's joke about this is the 20s, how many albums?
Oh, yeah.
And it should be not a bride anymore, right. but a wife.
Yeah.
Never the bridesmaid, always the bride, right?
Right.
Dying Bride. I don't know if I love this album. There's something about the production of it that I'm not super enamored with. The drums aren't. I think the drums are really low in the mix for most of it.
Yeah.
It's just there's a good songs on it, but it's not a fantastic album so far.
I feel like I haven't really given it enough listens.
Yeah.
But nothing's popped out at me yet.
Right.
But I kind of just I chalk that up to just me not listening to it enough and not paying attention enough.
There's good songs on it. There's one or two that stick out for me already, but I don't know.
Yeah.
It's I enjoy the new On Swords I Lay album even more than New My Dying Bride.
Okay, yeah.
Which it's sort of along the same, you know, road type of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
I don't know. I'll definitely listen to it more, but yeah,
right.
Top album. No, if it causes them to be able to tour here again, I would definitely go see them.
Right. Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
They need a tour with My Dying Bride, November's Doom, and Candlemass.
Just makes sense, doesn't it?
Makes sense, right?
It seems so easy to say, and then I guess. So challenging to do.
I know My Dying Bride and November's Doom are friends, so.
Yeah. I mean, all these bands are friends, I would assume.
Yeah, I'd imagine so.
I think the days of bands, rivalries between bands are kind of over. At this point, there should be a Dimmu Borgir Cradle of Filth tour, don't you think?
Right.
Like a co-headlining thing or something. I don't know.
And they should bring Nightflight Orchestra.
Dark Fortress.
Dark Fortress would work.
Yeah, as an opener. That would be great.
I was going to say Night Crown, but...
Oh, yeah. That would be something.
You said Night Flight Orchestra. You love this album, right?
Yeah. I'm a big fan of the band. You know, it started off... Because I remember my first introduction to them was here.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, these are cool videos and everything.
I remember how I found them, too. It was just randomly on YouTube. I'm like, what is this Night Flight Orchestra? I'm like... That guy sounds a lot like, holy shit, that's me.
Yeah.
What is he doing?
I really love their albums. I love the last one.
And we talked about they're going through the 80s.
Yeah, and they don't ever acknowledge this or talk about it.
So they started like in 82, 83-ish.
I would say like early, like 80, like maybe 1980 or 81.
Maybe. And they've gone into like 84. Now they're going to more of the synthy mid 80s. Yeah.
What's cool is that even their image changes through as they're progressing through the quote unquote 80s, because
those music videos they did were for the first album were totally fucking like heavy metal, like the magazine,
yeah,
and like the movie,
Yeah, and even like the ones where, you know, it was him pining about a woman, it was a very 1981-ish kind of like video of like early MTV style videos. For sure. And when the last album came out, they had that song Turn to Miami. And it was such a you could almost picture that in the way they're dressed and just the vibe of the song and what they're referencing in the lyrics. It's sort of like this band has become a successful band in their mythical universe, and they are in their cocaine and, you know, luxury hotel rooms phase, you know, and hanging out with models in big hotel suites phase. And all the Miami imagery kind of adds up to it. It's like sort of Whitesnake circa 1989, and in a way. But this album is very much, we've discovered synths, and we've discovered, kind of these weird sounds that could be the future of music.
I am going to admit right here, I love a good synth band.
Yeah. No,
synth
I
synth rock, synth metal.
I listen to a lot of this stuff.
It's amazing. It's great.
Yeah.
It's just something about it. It's just like I like Depeche Mode. I like any of those bands that use a lot of heavy synth-driven keyboard sound.
Yeah.
You know, that should be our next episode of synth-driven metal bands.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what I would pick first.
What's that?
Is Judas Priest Turbo.
Oh, yeah.
Which as the years have gone on, I've gone back and listened to that album over and over again. I've come away with a deeper appreciation of that album now than I did. You know, I was on the bandwagon of kind of thinking the album sucked for a while. But when I listen to that album, there's so much interesting stuff going on with the synth element to that of that record that, like, seriously, go back and I'm not blowing smoke up your ass for this. Go back and listen to Turbo. Really pay attention to the music there.
He wants to be your Turbo lover. That's all he's saying.
They were doing some fantastic stuff with the music on there, like Out in the Cold.
Oh, Out in the Cold is a great song.
Just the weird way the kind of ultra mechanized sound they have going. It sounds like a machine at work, like a robot movie
almost. I love that sound.
It was a fascinating album.
We should definitely feature do an episode. What are some of your favorite synth metal bands? I know there's some synth rock metal bands that are out there now, like Dance with the Dead and things like that. We should definitely look into that. But if you have an idea, what's one of your favorite synth-driven metal bands or songs from back in the day or currently, send an email to msrcast@gmail.com. Give us your recommendations. I think we're going to put this together. This will be fun.
Yeah, I mean, you know,
even bands like Stradivarius, I fall on that because they're very... I like bands that power metal bands, especially that feature core Deep Purple sound.
Yeah,
but is part of the actual melody of the song, not just like an accent here and there.
Yeah, I mean, I'm even thinking about Ecliptica from Sonata Arctica with that very pronounced keyboard sound in there.
Yeah, sure.
You know?
Things like that.
I'm not quite thinking of. I'm not really including in this industrial, which is you know, based on electronic synth type stuff. Because I'm just thinking about like rock.
Yeah.
Like how Maiden got some flack for Seventh Son because
with a lot of synth.
And they called it a very European sounding album at the time.
Speaking of, there was a article my friend Aaron tagged me in the other day about Iron Maiden, how there was some vote, I don't remember which website, but Seventh Son of a Seventh Son was like voted number one album from them. I'm like, I don't know if I agree with that.
It's my personal favorite album.
Is it really?
I know that. I know that that's easily debatable for Maiden. That you could easily make a debate or debate that Power Slave or that Number of the Beast or Peace of Mind. You know, I think is a good candidate.
Fear of the Dark. Come on.
I won't ever argue a Maiden fan about Seventh Son. That's just I love Seventh Son more than anything because every song in there is so great and the epic songs are the most epic.
But
pop songs are the most poppy. You know.
Yeah. But is it their best album? I don't know. That's a hard decision to make.
There's not a moment on there that I would ever skip, put it that way.
Okay.
You know, whereas Peace of Mind, you know, actually Peace of Mind's a good second, I would say, for me, because I think I've come to appreciate that album more.
Not Somewhere in Time either?
Somewhere in Time has some really noticeable flaws on that album.
Well, we're getting into uncharted territory here.
Caught Somewhere in Time is not a good song.
No.
And
no.
You know,
I'm sorry, guys. Episode's over.
I always had a problem with that chorus and with Bruce's vocal and that,
oh, no,
that chorus. But, all I mean, right. I love a lot of that album.
So, yeah, we're going to work on our playlist. Yeah. We were talking about behind the scenes, you'll hear it now. We wanted to do more themed-based episodes. We've been doing a lot of new music episodes. I want to pick a year, like, let's pick 1985 and just do songs from that era, or, you know, 2000 or something. Just, we'll just pick different years and different eras.
2000 would be interesting.
2000 would be interesting because yeah, there was a big change in music then.
Yeah.
So I think that's going to be, we're going to still do these episodes like we're doing now, but these are going to be recorded because these don't have to be timely, that type of stuff. Right. We can record these and have them ready to go anytime.
Right.
Have them in our repertoire, basically. You know what I mean? So yeah. I think this will be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And if you have ideas for any topics, any ideas, msrcast@gmail.com. Of course, you can find us all over the internet, on Twitter, on Facebook, Instagram, at msrcast. Find us at msrcast.com or metalgeekspodcast.com. While you're there, you want to subscribe to the show. We're on Apple Music, we're on Spotify, we're on Stitcher, all those good places. Look for MSRcast or Metal Geeks Podcast. Of course, you can find my friend over here at
The Metal Pigeon, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and themetalpigeon.com.
Yep, check out his latest article about Demon of the Wizards, plus a couple other local or a couple other bands that he wrote about.
Yeah, in that last update.
I'll admit, your article about Demons and Wizards made me go back and listen to the album with a different ear.
Yeah.
Not saying you've ruined it for me, yeah, but you haven't. It's just I went back and listened to it with a more critical mindset.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't like writing that thing.
I bet you didn't. I know you don't like being that way.
I don't want to say those things about one of the bands that, or one of the artists I love, you know, yeah, but yeah.
I think that's about does it for this episode. We're going to get into one more band, a band that I've sort of avoided for many, many years. Intronauts. Mm-hmm. I just thought these guys were typical metalcore sounding post stuff. These guys are great. I've listened to this new album multiple times. The new album, of course, is called Fluid Existential Inversions. That's hard to say real quick. It just came out, a brand new 2020 album, February 28 on Metal Blade Records. The song that I've picked is called Pangloss. They are very progressive post metal ish. Between the Buried in Me type stuff, you know. I really like these guys. It's very, if you watch the music video, that's how I feel when I listen to them. You know, it's like a lot of colors and there's a lot of weirdness going on. Weird's a good way to describe it.
Yeah.
I really like Intronaut. They're really cool. I'm sad that I've waited this long to jump on the bandwagon.
And you said they were a very, what was the band you were referencing, Between the Buried and Me?
I think so. Yeah. That very post-metal progressive stuff. Not a lot of metalcore on this album is. I always thought they were very
which
much.
Which is probably
metalcore.
Why you're liking it a lot.
I think so, yeah, maybe. But yeah,
where are they from?
They are from L.A. They're an L.A. band.
Okay.
Yeah, progressive rock metal. There you go.
Yeah.
Thanks for tuning in to episode number 234 of MSRcast. Just to reiterate, please, everybody, be safe out there. Wash your hands.
Wash your hands.
Wash your hands over and over. Pick a song that's 20 seconds in length, the chorus, whatever metal song you want, and just do it.
Yeah.
And over and over and over.
If there's a metal show in your city, go to that metal show, man.
Yeah.
Do it.
That's right. Local shows, touring bands. If something's coming to your town, please go support. Bortnagar, if they come, please go support them.
I know, man.
Insomnium so looks like it's happening, so as what we're seeing tonight.
Yeah, Insomnium has posted that they're in United States right now, so
it's 1 month away from now. Meet and greet. Yeah. I'm excited. So, again, please be safe out there.
Hopefully by then this will all just be over.
I hope so. I really hope so.
Yeah.
A lot of people's livelihoods are resting on this.
Oh, and, yeah. Yeah.
So, without any further ado, here's Intronaut. And, as always, one last thing we have to say.
Keep it coronavirus.
Free. Keep it coronavirus free.
Keep it metal.
Keep it hand washing.
Fuck you, coronavirus.
That's right.
The best of all possible.
Hey, Geekazoids. Thanks for listening to another fine podcast brought to you by MSR Productions. All rights reserved, blah, 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 blah. For reviews, archives of our podcasts, and all your other metal geekery needs, please visit metalgeeks.net. Keep it geeky. Keep it metal. We'll be right back.